Blog Talk Radio.
John, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're back. This is the DM Burley Show, and we're live here on Blog Talk Radio. A lot of things are going on in the news, and we're going to cover a couple subjects tonight, John. One is going to be about the situation with these strange things that aren't clouds. They have been called chemtrails, and it's been a situation people have been reporting it for a long time. There was a meteorologist that has come forth and said that these clouds were something different and had other conditions to that, and I'm going to be calling up my special guest here in a moment in regards to this subject. But, folks, let me give you some information. You're listening to the DM Burley Show, and we're live here on Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio. There's a call-in number here, which is 718-508-9513, 718-508-9513. Also, during the week, we're on Truth Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, on Now Live during that time, during the week, along with Blog Talk Radio. And again, on Saturday, we're on from 9 to, tonight we're going to end the show 11 o'clock, but normally until midnight Central Standard Time. And anyway, if you want to get in touch with me, it's danne.b@gmail.com, danne.burley@gmail.com, or you can write to me, danne.burley. 3150 Finley Road, Suite 310, Downers Grove, Illinois. Downers Grove, Illinois, 60515. You can call me at 630-666-8528, 630-666-8528, or visit my website, which is danneburleyshow.com, danneburleyshow.com. We're going to start the broadcast now, and John, what's going on with you out there? Tell me what's happening.
Well, a lot of things are happening. There's been a financial burden been hitting our entire area in different ways. As far as like chemtrails today, I had a uniqueness of the clouds tonight. We had like thunderbuster clouds that were very sparse, but they were very definite in definition. They have this, ultra gray color to them. There was also a very almost like northern lights effect going on, and there was a redness high above the clouds, and yet the clouds were very high. They're thunderbusters, but they're as high as, like, I want to say cirrus clouds. There's lots of room between the bottom of them and the ground. We had effects of, when I walked in the house approximately an hour ago, there was like slight thunder, but there was no lightning, and it was like just a few of these clouds, and you could see where they were building them up. I was going to call it scholar activity of the satellite activity, where they're heating the atmosphere. And then about an hour later, which is about, 15 minutes ago, I had one big boom, just one, like someone shot off a cannon or something, but it was like a lightning bolt. And again, these, as you see the cloud pattern come in now, they're either on the chemtrails of the strips, or they're the checkerboard pattern where they're starting to create them from the scalar activity. And I saw a lot of HAARP operations today. And so anyhow, if people don't believe that the weather's controlled, just go to U.S. Title 50, Section 1520. It's one of the clean laws. You can read about it and how they're poisoning us. The chemtrails are used to do that with alongside of our food products and stuff. I was just reading the information on I can't think of it. Bill Scott's degenerative diseases, and they've got a big article on monosodium glutamate. And on monosodium glutamate, you have a tremendous, we all know it's poison. They can't really produce it in the United States anymore, so they produce it in China. They can still ship it in here. I've seen it come into the plant I work for, but they conceal it. As we used to have, like DDT and paraquat, they redlined those 30 years ago, so you couldn't buy them. but they never stopped being sold. Germany made paraquat. It was called Gromor, and there was three different levels of it. And you could buy that the year after they redlined paraquat, but it was just changed somehow, so they hid it. And they're doing the same thing with MSG products. You'll go to a Chinese restaurant, you'll see where they say, oh, we don't have MSG, and they'll have a sign, no MSGs, and that's being perpetrated on, what I want to say, on most of our labeling of food products that isn't supposed to be there. But then if you know what to look for, you're going to find it's almost in every food product going. You've got it in coffee. You've got it in any processed food whatsoever. Let me get my glasses here, and I'll give you a website to reference 115 scientific studies on MSG. It's, let's see, type in the words MSG obese, O-B-E-S-E, and you can read 115 medical studies that appear in the National Medical Library of Medicine at www.pubmed.com. That's National Library of Medicine at www.pubmed.com. And then you go for the MSG, capital O-B-E-S-E. And there's 115 medical studies. This is not a little bit. They label things, like saturated vegetable oil. But the truth of the matter is hydrolyzed vegetable protein is MSG. So if you start seeing that on a lot of your products, which is there, you're consuming it. It creates diabetes. It creates being overweight. It's not a maybe. As you look around this country, you see our skin condition and stuff is deplorable. Actually looking at the bodies of different people, you wonder, how can they get that way? I mean, that's almost an impossibility.
It's not really an impossibility, John. It's just that we have been given food now that is contaminated, and we have things that are going in the water supply and also the air we breathe. And that's one of the things we're talking about here on the show tonight. We have Sheldon Day. Sheldon is a gentleman that's been studying this phenomenon of these weird, like you said, checkerboard clouds. And the problem is, these clouds that we look at, we think they're, checkerboard, but bottom line is these clouds that we are looking at are being produced by something far more devious than we would ever imagine. And I'm going to bring him up now. Sheldon, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Sheldon, how are you doing? And welcome
okay.
to the Ann Burley Show. Tell me about how you got involved with watching these cloud patterns.
Well, actually, Deanne, I don't spend a tremendous amount of time looking at the chemtrails, but they are spraying in the skies here in southern Arizona. I have a friend out in Benson. He keeps me up to date because he watches it more closely, and this is indeed happening. And the CIA actually has a dusting base up in Marana, which is a little northwest of Tucson here. So this is definitely going on in our area. Now, there is a lady up in Phoenix that monitors this more heavily than I do because she takes samples of the air, and her name is Bridget Conroy. She's in the process of addressing a report analysis with the Environmental Protection Agency on the air samples, and barium is indicated at more than 500,000 parts per billion, a well-defined neurotoxin in the samples she's been taking, and this air sample collection was done during a 28-day period. Now, with barium at more than 500,000 parts per billion, can you imagine what this translates to over months and years, folks?
And this stuff that's coming out of the clouds, they were saying that they're finding plasma of blood in it when it hits the ground. Have you heard anything like that as well, Sheldon?
Yeah, I just did see one of her emails on that, but I haven't really got a chance to read it. But I think you're right, yeah.
Well, the thing that's frightening, too, is the fact that, you know, the meteorologists for I don't know how long have never, ever spoken about this issue. And you told me when I talked to you, and we've been trying to get him on, there's a gentleman that has knowledge of this and happens to be a meteorologist. Can you tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, his name is former meteorologist Scott Stevens. He used to be an NBC award-winning meteorologist up in Pocatello, Idaho, for the accuracy of his forecasting. And he eventually got out of that arena because he was discovering that the weather was indeed being manipulated. And apparently he had discovered the scalar markers in the storms, which would be indicative that scalar weaponry is, at least in part, being used in this weather warfare going on against the population.
Well, let me see, I have a caller in here. Hold on a second, let me see if I can bring that caller up. But the thing is that people have been reporting this for years out here, and it doesn't seem like anyone is doing anything to, you know, rectify or investigate within the, you know, federal government. I'm going to bring a caller in. Caller, are you there?
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi. I was just listening in to what you're talking about. This is Carl up here in Canada.
Oh, okay, Carl. Then
yeah, there was an article in the paper today in the Montreal Gazette talking about the strange weather pattern, and I guess this woman was giving her story to the news how she went bathing in the water and she came out. I guess her daughter had spots all over her body, and then she started having spots on her body a few days later, and the doctor was saying it was algae or something. And they were talking about the weird weather today in the paper up here. It's good you're talking about that, you know.
Well, it seems to be hitting all over. Now, Sheldon, where you are, have you heard anyone getting ill from this condition with this stuff in the atmosphere in your area?
No, I haven't, Deanne, but I wouldn't put it past these Luciferians that are hell-bent on reducing the population to do just about anything to us right now. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, the thing is, I have talked to some people in the Chicagoland area, and a lot of those folks don't seem to have knowledge of this. And but there are people in Texas and out there when John is in New York, and everybody has looked at the sky, and they have seen, you know, patterns, a checkerboard, dark, weird, wavy clouds that don't fit. Those are not the normal pattern of the harp clouds, because the harp clouds are kind of like jigsaw-y, kind of like a radio wave in frequency. And out this way, you see a lot of that. And I would say we have two major laboratories out this way, and I think this is the reason why this is in this area. But do you think that any of the presidential candidates will do anything about this, Shelton, or do you think we're just going to be doomed to be poisoned by whatever this is that's being dumped on us?
Well, I think it's primarily a compartmentalized black projects operation, and I don't even know if the president's privy to this type of information. I'm sure he is somewhat, but you know, this is indeed real. It's in the United States Code under that weather modifications are reality. It's in Title 15, Chapter 9A, Section 330. And if any of you folks go to my website, I have a bunch of information on these weather wars going on. That the website is thelightofdayradioshow.com, thelightofdayradioshow.com. No, I don't really think anything's going to be done about this, because the United Nations has a population reduction agenda that was set up, from what I understand, back in the 70s. I think it was some document that ends with the number 200, but Zbigniew Brzezinski or Henry Kissinger was in it, and they had talked about how they need to get the world's population reduced. And William Cooper even mentioned it in his book, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Well, wouldn't this be the great way to kill off the population slowly with weapons that can't be traced?
Well, again, that's very true because we have, you know, this stuff going on. Then we have sound-producing waves that are coming in, and I think that's also manipulating people. Now, up there in Canada where Carl is, they just had a situation where a man cut the head off of another man on the bus. I mean, you know, it seems that there's cases all over the place with people going berserk, and I was wondering, do you think that these situations are caused by whatever it is that's jumping on the cloud, or do you think it's some other situations making people go crazy?
Well, I definitely would not rule it out as a possibility. Nick Begich, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with him. He's indicated how this heart facility can be used to behaviorally modify the population and, you know, be used for mind control.
Now, Carl, you're there. You heard about this man that got on the bus there and decapitated somebody on the bus out there.
Yeah, yeah. I heard all about it. It was, again, in the paper today. Supposedly, this guy had no criminal record whatsoever. This is his first offense, and they were talking about if they want to give him bail or not. They charged him with second-degree murder. It was in the paper the past couple of days. It was all over the news. I know it's also in the paper today talking about the thing with the algae and the water and also the weird weather pattern. Like in the morning, it was talking in the paper today how it's sunny in the morning, and then we'll have flash floods and thunderstorms maybe in the afternoon. It just suddenly changed. The weather all over is just changing. And they talk about how the ice broke off in the Arctic and up here in Canada. And it's been talking about all the weird stuff going on. And somebody was talking about the end of the world. She thought, you know, was coming. And this guy is predicting, I forget the scientist's name, but it was mentioned in the paper today that we're past the point of no return. It was in the article that I had read. I could go get it real quick and, you know, reference what it was.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm going to go back to Sheldon. What do you think about that as far as it being the end of the world and all that? Do you think we're looking at this that's being man-made, you know, the end of the world revelations, or do you think that this is just them trying to take down the country and has nothing to do with the Bible?
My personal belief, Deanne, is that the secret societies have manipulated the Bible, and because of that, people are able to blame these weather anomalies on acts of God. This stuff was all set up. This is all set up by design years in advance. That's my opinion.
Well, how far back do you think this manipulation has gone? Do you think it's just within the last turn of century, or do you think this has been going on from day one?
I'm not very expertised in that arena, but Alan Watt is. I think it's been going on for probably thousands of years.
Well, the thing that's kind of interesting is that everything people are correlating now, dates of 2012 as being the end of the world, and, you know, and they're coming up with Mayan calendars and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I wanted to interject on that. The 2012 stuff going around on the internet, I think, is a bunch of baloney. I think it's a scam, according to Professor Jim McCanny, and this really makes sense. You know, with the agendas being carried out right now, why would they want us to be, you know, get all ready for something to happen in that year? I don't think they would. I think things are going to happen before that.
Well,
so what they're doing is saying everybody has until 2012 to get ready. Well, I don't think it's going to be that way.
Well, do you feel that there's going to be another attack on the U.S. between now, you know? I know we were talking about weather modification and all these control devices, but do you think, like, between now and the November election, that you think that something might be going to happen again, like September 11th?
Yes, I really have a strong feeling they have something planned before the end of this year. Bush may even stay in office, based on my research.
Why do you say that?
Because they're on, I believe they're on an accelerated timetable to get their agenda carried out. They're supposed to have this done like 7 or 8 years ago, most of it.
So you believe that this is an agenda to collapse the United States, to make it part of one world government like everyone has been saying, or do you think it's something else that they're, you know, in the midst of doing that's, you know, more devious than that?
Yeah, I think it's essentially to get us into the one world government scenario.
Well, have you read anything, too, about these space objects they're setting up? They just landed something not too long ago on Mars that's coming back saying that there's ice particles on it. We have no control over the Hubble. The Hubble is supposed to not be working, but yet periodically it starts up again, and we get pictures of, very clear pictures, in fact, of other sides of the universe. And I've been hearing rumors within the last few weeks, that they feel that there's Planet X or something that the Hubble could have spotted, and they shut the Hubble down. And it could be a situation. In fact, one report said that it might be a meteor heading toward the Earth, but they feel that something might be coming from space to here. Have you heard anything about that, Sheldon?
Well, I know on the next space shuttle flight, slated to go up early October, they're specifically going to devote 5 spacewalks to repair that telescope. Now, I don't know. Maybe there is something coming in, according to Dr. Richard Boylan, there is, but, you know, that's channeled information, so I just don't know what to think on that. Now, as far as them finding water on Mars 2 or 3 days ago, I think there's a major conditioning campaign underway to get the public ready for what I think is one of the decks on the card of the New World Order, and that's a faked, staged alien invasion. And former rocket scientist Wernher von Braun warned this school teacher named Carol Rosen that was like one or two of the last cards in the deck to get their world government set up was a staged alien invasion, and just makes sense because you know there's a lot of UFO talk shows out there now, and they're so concentrated on just talking about the UFO thing and the negativity associated with these aliens. Well, they can't get into other subjects. It almost sounds like a mind control operation when you listen to some of these UFO talk shows.
Well, this was on the Hill, too. The last 2 days, they have come through and said that there was some type of strange, bizarre creature they found. It was in the water. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I seen that. That was posted on the Coast to Coast homepage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was on the shores of Montauk or Montauk Island.
Right.
That's interesting because they were supposed to carry out time travel experiments in that area at one time.
Really? How did you hear about that?
Well, that's where I think the Philadelphia experiment originated out of, where they sent that U.S. naval aircraft back in time was somewhere around Montauk Island there.
Well, they said that they found this thing and they didn't know what it was and they fished it out of water. And, you know, they showed a picture of it even on the mainstream press. John, did you see it at all, or have you heard anything about it?
No, but I'd like to make a couple comments here. Number one, if you want to see the Montauk Project, go to hotzegger.com. He's got a 42-hour DVD, CD, you know, it's all on one computer disc. It's a phenomenal amount of information. It covers a whole broad basis of a lot of things. But there definitely is aliens here. If they wanted us, they would take us over millions of years ago.
I agree.
They've been advanced for a long time. We're just catching up. I feel coming into the star system is true. I think there is a cataclysm of the Planet X coming by. To my understanding, through John Moore and whatnot, they started manning the underground bases as of December last fall. And so they're getting prepared. They're going to have a year before things get bad. If you look at the, have you ever seen where they fold the $10 or $20 bill and they can show the Twin Towers on there and they can show the Pentagon being bombed? Well, that's Illuminati sign of control. That's Illuminati sign of showing what's going to happen. Okay, now the old bills printed, like, say, 1996 is a bill that I referenced, and it shows the Twin Towers hit exactly where they were hit, and the United Airlines is, the word United is on the side of the build where the United Airline hit the tower, and American Airline, the word American is beside the tower and in the same position as where the tower was hit. Now, the new $10 and $20 bill is showing the Twin Towers, and it's also showing a half a nuclear blast, and the other half of the bill is showing like fallout. And if you take the $100 bill of the new $100 bill, I don't know about the old $100 bill, but the new $100, or let me see.
Do you think, though, Sheldon, that these dollar things that people are folding and finding this phenomenon to look at and see things that had past happened, like a World Trade Center, do you think that's a phenomenon and real, or what is your opinion of it, Sheldon?
Oh, no, I don't think it's no coincidence. There was something out there called the Illuminati card game that had these weather modification cards, and it showed the Trade Center Tower being attacked, and they had a record, some rap music record come out showing the towers coming down. I think it's their funny way of laughing at us, because they just say, you know, the powers to be think we're just useless eaters, if you will, anyway. So it's their way of laughing at us.
Now, you have your own radio broadcast, correct, Sheldon?
Yeah, I did for about maybe almost a year and a half, but having children and a full-time job, it's just too much for me.
But you were bringing up these issues, and what brought you to doing your own show?
I would say primarily a former talk show host on Republic Broadcasting Network, Chris Gerner, motivated me to continue with where he left off, because he was exposing weather modification on his shows, and I decided, he speaks with a lot of wisdom when he talks to me on the phone, so I thought that's the avenue I need to take, and everybody needs to do their part to try to awake the masses, because there's an awakening going on, but we still have a fight to pursue here.
Well, you know, the thing is, what is it going to take? You think the American people are finally waking up, or you think that they're still sleeping, you know, in the depths of all this controversy we're looking at all over the planet, you know, in regards to weather modification, in regards to all these things that we're seeing, happening here. Do you think the people of the United States is finally coming to grip and understanding there's something wrong with these things?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I watched this Judiciary Committee hearings on C-SPAN Friday with Dennis Kucinich and Vincent Bugliosi and all these politicians. They were just raising their voices in the chamber about the unconstitutional things that the Bush administration's been doing. And I think the weather modification thing is getting more exposed. I think there's an awakening going on. It could be better, though.
Well, you know, in your viewpoint, now we got these candidates for President of the United States. Are you happy with them? Do you feel that any of them are addressing the issues that, you know, you feel that need to be addressed, or do you think we're still in trouble?
I personally think that they're all puppets for this world government, and it doesn't matter who gets in next. It's just going to get worse, is what I think. And I personally have never voted in my life, and I never plan on it, because I really have a strong feeling that the voting system is all rigged, and they have this all set up in advance who they're going to put in office. That's my thoughts on it.
So you don't think it would be one candidate or the other is going to be any different, and you don't think that they're going to do anything to?
Nope,
really,
there's not a dime
change.
Of difference between them, and that, you know, these mainstream talk show hosts that differentiate between Democrats and Republicans and that's just a bunch of baloney. You're either an American or you're not. It's that simple.
Well, John, what do you think on that?
Well, I got 3 points here to make. Number one, Mr. Bush was aware that we had over 6,000 chemtrail planes, and he wanted 8,000 more. That was a number that I heard. Another thing that came out is like on Coast to Coast. I was just talking with Bruce McBurney, and Bruce McBurney is very on top. You can buy his information. It's HiMac.com, and he has all the hydrogen fuel and free energy information printed and condensed and put together. And so if you want free energy, get a hold of him. But anyhow, he got a hold of Coast to Coast because last week there, Coast to Coast presented that the Mustang had this new gasforwater.com mechanism put on their Mustang, and they lost 2 miles per gallon. And they say, you know, it's a hoax. And I'm seeing that it's a hoax on different things. Well, I put one on my car, and I've gotten about 8 miles a gallon now, and I've done a couple little other things to help it do that. But in the interim of it, Coast to Coast was called by McBurney and was offered to have his information and show his information. And the reply was, well, I'd have to ride in a car for 1,000 miles before I'd ever believe it. And yet he hasn't. The Coast to Coast personnel haven't ridden in a UFO, but, oh, man, we got UFOs. And so the information is, your discernment comes back to where just practicality, they're creating a scenario of someone wants them to present something, and they're in this aspect of hiding information that they want hidden from the American public. So what comes out of Coast to Coast is a lot of brainwashing.
I totally agree there, John. Could I interject?
Sure.
Over the last few days, I've written George Norrie and his producer about these men down in Florida. One guy is getting 100 miles to the ounce, and the other guy is getting 463 miles to the gallon. Well, George Norrie sent me a reply email, send me the information. Well, he never replied to me. I think, yeah, they're just trying to pretend that they're on our side, but they're not really getting into the meat of what we could have, like free energy.
Right, right. And, you know, we're at the situation where, like in World War II, where we had the gypsies to the Jews were annihilated, I think we're going to see that. So we're seeing the same thing happen right now. Just for instance, our old people are eating dog food. We've known that. And last year was extremely expensive for winter, so I'm sure they're still paying last winter's heating bills, possibly, if they can at all. So this winter, they're going to freeze to death or starve to death, whatever. We're seeing the gypsies. We're seeing the Jews. But I think we're seeing, like, the mortgage company shutting down a lot of people, GM shutting down a lot of people, communication systems. If you go to the mega bankruptcies, it's our high technology huge corporations of communications, aircraft industry, energy industry. They're the top of the pie, and they all been corrupted to go bankrupt. And guess what? We're all in the pie together here to all be the gypsies and the Jews, but they're doing it on a bigger scale of a more onslaught, and they're setting things up so that when all of a sudden we say, oh, wow, we woke up, and what are we going to do about this? They've already put tools in place of people collection. They've already put tools in place of shortages of food. They've already put tools in place of sickness so we don't feel good to fight for ourselves, and taking our young people and made them sick. You know, we've had 7,000 injured in the Gulf War era and over 500,000 are on disability. We're injecting vaccinations in us daily. We're putting soaps on us that poison us daily. We're putting food in us that poison us daily. I mean, we're being hit from so many sides. It's just like, I don't think there's much chance for a lot of us. If you're not already starting to prepare yourself and starting to eat garden foods and stay away from processed foods and whatnot, the biggest thing you can do is build yourself virtuously. As you're talking about the collective, is the possibility of a salvation, the power of love, is a salvation that we haven't tapped. And we have to learn to live this nightmare, to know the negativity, the length of it and the extent of it and the hardship of it, to have the desire to build the power of love and to bring ourselves above this.
Well, I'm going to ask Sheldon, too. You know, in your opinion right now, the way things are going, do you think that we might have a chance if we change what we're doing, you know, the path that we're going on, you know, individually here? Or do you think, you know, it's pretty much done.
I think that's about the only chance we have is to something Art Bell used to do with his audience. It's called the mass consciousness experiment. We all have to focus our energy towards thinking that we have help and things will get better. Because you know, with these weather wars coming up, we cannot depend on our government to help us anymore. I think we're on our own now.
Well, these weather wars you're talking about, do you think right now what's going on is that the United States is involved with those clouds, or do you feel it's other countries that are dumping this stuff on us.
It's really hard to pinpoint that down, but I'm almost positively sure Russia's involved in it, and the U.S. is definitely involved in it because they signed a treaty with Canada back in the, I believe it was the 70s, and I don't know how many countries are involved in it, but I know it's definitely going on.
Well, the other thing is kind of weird, too. Right now there's a huge influx of information coming out about AIDS now. Now, for a while, nobody heard anything about AIDS, you know, kind of like disappeared out of the, eyes and ears of the public. But right now, people are now saying that, you know, certain levels of population is getting more and more AIDS and this, that, and the other. AIDS campaigns are running around, and I very much feel that that's being orchestrated as well because, I've had Dr. Peter Duesenberg on my show, and then I also had Dr. Al-Abadi on and various other distinguished panel doctors that said that the AIDS virus does not exist. So everybody has HIV in their system, but AIDS, they were saying, was basically manufactured in a lab, and that what's going on with it is that when you get the cure, it gives you AIDS. And Duesenberg has a whole tutorial that is on the internet and available that'll show you exactly how this is being orchestrated. So I don't know if this virus of AIDS, it might be in this these clouds that are dumping stuff down. What is your opinion of that, Sheldon?
I haven't heard that AIDS was back on the surface, but I know, like with what you said, that they can cure AIDS by giving you the antidote or whatever. Well, I've been hearing the same thing with that bird flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever the vaccine they got for you is actually not going to cure it. It's going to make it worse.
Yeah, it gives you the bird flu and this other stuff that they had. It's 36 known viruses and diseases, including mononucleosis, that's in the vaccine. So when you take it, you get mono and everything else from taking the cure.
Well, it originated from the Epstein-Barr virus, and it extends into chronic fatigue syndrome, lupus, you name it. It basically connects to it. But again, it comes into that microplasma, which was invented for $10 million by the appropriations from Congress for population control again. You know, you go to the Georgia Guidestones, they want 500 million population. They're putting all the tools in place of having our troops sign on to say, well, you shoot Americans, having the FEMA camps, having the rail cars for collection already, having the furnaces that have been mined out of the ground for burning bodies. Tools are in place. When they say they have no money, and yet there's gamuts of money for all this other extraterrestrial activity that's, you know, there's no one in the FEMA camps, but they got 400 million more being spent on more FEMA camps, and all of a sudden the UN has terrific money. Well, why does the UN have terrific money? Supposedly the UN originally was all financed by the United States. And it goes on and on. And again, as we have, say, like U.S. or Germany or Russia or whatever, controlling the weather, is like our speaker Wednesday on the Truth Radio, she was telling that this is all an orchestration. Her ex-husband was actually assigned to go over and be a leader in Iran. I mean, their leaders are actually selected and brought in from the United States. And when it got said and done, you know, this is all a show and play scenario. They've got different places in the United States right now. You've got California, you've got Georgia, and you've got New Orleans. For some reason, they want those areas opened up. They've got some plans for them, and it's not for us. They've got some central states. They're taking the crops out of the flooding and whatnot to shut down the central states. But then again, on the positive side of this, if you go to Michael Gordon Scalion, he shows that the United States, the Great Lakes, and the Mississippi will be a 35-mile ocean channel. So maybe they're doing some things to eliminate some of the people living in those areas because they're trying to preempt you from being disastered down the road when this cataclysm takes place. It's a possibility there.
Yeah,
not only...
But then, you know, how is it that they can make a decision for who lives and dies? That's still not right. Doesn't matter. If people are going to be cataclysm, you know, that's kind of like on a German Nazi type of thing.
Well, I know what you're saying, Deanne, but at the same time, if you've got a gun to your head and you're telling them to kill 500 million of us, and so all of a sudden now they've got to have wars and destruction and weather problems and all that, maybe they're putting some of them in play to kind of help us to get the heck out of some of the real danger areas.
Yeah, but the thing is, again, they're choosing who lives and dies. It's not right. It's not
God. It's a fact, though. It's a fact. I mean, they're definitely killing somebody. It's a fact.
Yes, they're killing people, but again, they have no idea. It's just like this thing that's been going on with them talking about the so-called melting of the polar ice caps. There's questions of whether or not that's real. Some people say it is. Some people say it's not. Go ahead, Sheldon. Sorry.
Yeah, that's another thing. For people out there that want to think that global warming is causing things like hurricanes to increase and wiping out New Orleans, it's all a bunch of baloney. People need to get their heads out of their sand and start doing some research, because we just recently had 32,000 credentialed scientists sign a petition stating that global warming is not happening.
Right, and I don't think man has the right at all to play God. We have no right on this planet to designate who dies, who lives where, and all of that. That's not our choice. And then when you have extremely wealthy people choose people that are economically not in the realm that they are, that makes them almost a big god, John.
Well, Deanne, it is their man's choice to alter the weather if there are Luciferians that are hell-bent on reducing the population.
Right,
well,
but that means they're evil, period.
You know, you've got things that go on such as, like, I'm going to talk about, like, the Holy Spirit, and they talk about the brethren in, like, the Colburn Bible, and the seven brotherhoods that are here in the United States. When the United States was formed, there were supposedly seven brotherhoods that were set up here to try to advance us. Now, if you review the history of Eklah Kishana was his titled name. It's he's part of the Adelphi organization. He set up two organizations here in the United States. He supposedly is dead now, but I question that. But when it gets said and done, he was telling history that the brethren were talking to him, the spirits were talking to him, of why they would advance one culture over another culture, and that we're an experiment of mechanism of growing the most positive culture possible. And he talked about a culture that had developed a sharper cutting edge, and they helped that culture advanced because the culture was trying to help itself. Maybe it was a weapon of war, but it stepped ahead of the other cultures and at that time made something that advanced itself. So they tried to start helping them. And so now you've got to step back a little bit. And, you know, as you would have, somebody in school that is, I'm going to say mentally retarded or so, would you spend a lot of money on that person, or would you advance somebody else that's got a lot more potential? But at the same time, as we're being put under the stress of pestilism right now, it's making us come out of our sleepyhood. It's making us start to desire. It's making us mad to get off our butt and start doing something about it. And so you've got to start looking at that angle of how would somebody manage a culture that's not helping itself, and which ones do you pick to try to help or delete? And again, you're going into, they see the ramifications of, hey, yeah, that planet X going by, you're gonna wipe out a bunch of you here this next three years. You're gonna be, the whole thing's gonna turn over here. So who do you save?
What do you try to save out of that? Yeah, but again, it's not up to them. If something's gonna happen, a catastrophe,
being a parent, you will refuse to let your children just die. Doesn't matter. You're hell bent. You're not going to leave. You're going to die trying to save them and whatnot. But at the same time, you recognize that you've got to survive to try to be able to still help them. There's a point of measure.
Yeah, there's a point of measure, but you wouldn't.
Okay,
have to
and that goes on different scales for different balances for different levels of government, or say planetary injection from someone else. I'm not sure how, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going with this per se, but I can understand the mechanism of some of this. I'm not saying I'm a UN person by any means. I'm not. I agree with what you say as far as, you know, it's our right to live and love and prosper and all this kind of thing. And there's right and there's justice and there's truth and there's love and there's peace and there's the other way to find the peaceful, loving way as Jesus tried to teach us. But in the interim of it, he still walked on that cross. He didn't have to, but he did. And you got to try to understand, why would he do that? And what power is he going for that we don't recognize by him doing that? You know, we being the proud American stand up and hit him on the end of the nose type of society, we wouldn't let that happen. But he let it happen. He let the Roman Empire, one of the strongest empires of the world, he let it happen. He let them actually help create it. So how do you, you know, where do you put the measure on all this? It's you got to go into yourself and you got to start. The total answer I feel is everything every day for everybody that you can do is positive. And as I've done practicing some of those things, they've given me abilities of seeing things and looking at the sun, and an advancement of the tools that I've been offered and the licensing that I've been granted through the Spirit to do that.
So, you know, Sheldon, what do you feel on that? Do you think that man himself has the right to pick and choose who lives and dies on this planet? You know, just a few very wealthy individuals?
No, but I think we definitely have the right to fight back against evil, and that's why we all need to be doing our part to awaken the population out there.
I totally agree with, you know, that you have the sweet potato test where they show the collective of the monkeys in the South China Sea were able to be trained to wash a sweet potato, eat it. 100 of them learned it from the other one, but then all of a sudden the collective learned it from the masses intruding it through the etheric plane, I want to say. And the other islands even learned it through the etheric plane of the masses and the collective. But you had to build through the struggle that we're going through, we're building, getting out of the sheeple stage to make the masses understand, and it's exactly what you just said. We need to fight we label it the evil, to wake ourselves up to create the collective.
Yeah, I currently believe we're living under a spiritual warfare, and it's an existence between good and evil. That's what I feel.
Yes.
Well, it's, I guess every day, you know, I wake up in the morning and there's a book I read. It was called The Mutant Down Under. It's about a woman that walked with the Aborigines. And the Aborigines that were of the upper virtue, every morning they would get up and sing to God. And it's something I practice in my life. I get up and I recognize the positiveness. A lot of times, it's not a lot of people look at the numbers on the clock, and it'll be 9/11 or something. Or myself, I try to recognize. Well, he gave me a time factor. What's that time factor tell me to do today? And a lot of times, it'll be 7 or 14 or something of that number, to where it's a godly number, and I don't visibly or I don't verbally yell out and sing, which I probably should do, but because of the I want to say my family holds me down. My family's like, you know, they still use like deodorant soaps and whatnot, and believe in vaccinations. And you know, I'm a little crazy, and you're worried about nothing. And so I'm not able to fully express myself as I probably would if to practice as say praying at each meal or whatever with the entire family of the collective. There's still a lot of restrictions on my life, a lot of restrictions of family. And, you know, even though I stand up and I...
I was going to say, John, yeah, that's the exact way I am in my family. I'm the outcast, and I think a lot of people that are in this stuff tend to be the outcast in their family.
Well, it's, you know, and it takes us to turn things because it doesn't get better by not taking and addressing the issues. And it's not easy for anything, but there's fun things that come out. It's like today I was able to spend 45 minutes out petitioning the war we have at noontime to 1 o'clock. We have some people to get together, and we have anti-war signs, and I try to express, like I have a sign that says, U.S. Title 50, Section 1520 is the law to control chemtrails and to poison us. And I have my 9/11 information. 9/11 was a hoax and stopped the war. And I was thinking, how can I advance that? And so I'm thinking about putting sheep on top of my cardboard that are marching over a cliff, and then have a cliff, and then maybe have a shark that's labeled the UN or something over there catching them or something, you know, and say, wake up or something. But, you know, I mean, there's little things that, as we've been given the privilege to have the upper knowledge, that's a privilege. And there's the responsibility with it. And our responsibility is to do things, and how do we do that to wake these people up and to get this out and to spark them. And I think we've actually been put into families that challenge us in that, because it's very frustrating, and it's at the same time awakening. And it makes us sharper, because as we have to argue, especially within our family, it's very frustrating. It makes it easier for us to
research more, yeah.
Yes, and it makes us a much better clerically express ourselves with other people. We're much more astute to bringing this information out and starting to help to understand.
Well, how many people do you recognize, you know, John, and also Shelton and Carl, in your areas that are waking up? You know, John, how many people, I know you went to this rally today. Do you know there's more people adding in on that, you know, in regards to bringing this military men?
It's funny you should say that. Now, I have probably 10 other people that hold signs with me. I'm the only one that have the 9/11 hoax sign. No one else will hold my sign. And when they see my signs, they all, like, stand away from me a little bit, because, like, they might arrest me. And I'm called, like, the Attila the Hun of, against the government, per se, because a lot of these people work for the government. And I think a couple of people there, you know, is they have people hired to try to shut down people of the veteran services that you don't collect, and they're actually paid and enhanced to be paid to not let you collect on your veteran services.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's people that are actually paid through the, say, college systems or education systems that have been in control of us for a long time, the lawyers and whatnot. And I'm going to tell you that 3/4 of the people that are on the street right now with me are part of those people. They might be saying, yeah, we want to stop the war, but at the same time, the information that I throw at them, it spooks them, but then they try to twist it around, and they, just the same as my family, we have that battle going on, and I hit them with a little bit every time I can. Like I was talking about that $10 and $20 bill today, showing them, you know, the United and Airline, and that the positioning and where the hits were on the buildings were the same, and the bill was 10 years earlier than the 9/11. And now they've changed it to where there's a nuclear blast with fallout on it, and so that they're starting to see this, and if they think that's okay for their family, you know, and it's like, all right, we got the car industry is failing, okay? The CEO's out there saying, well, maybe by 2010 we'll turn this around and whatnot. He's a liar. He's helping profess a huge lie onto the corporation. The engineers are as damn guilty. The industry itself, if you were working in that industry, you would have learned enough things through the black line of the operations to be able to build a 100-mile car. Everyone that's losing their job is guilty of negligence.
Well, let me ask Carl. Carl, you're hearing this. What do you feel from where you are in Canada and then leaving the United States? How do you feel about this stuff?
About exactly what? Everything as a whole?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as... do you think that they have the right to euthanasia us and kill us, you know, because they're worried about us, you know, being overpopulated and stuff, like John was saying? Do you think that they should make that decision, or should it be, you know, us that, you know, to try to survive this? And maybe this thing won't even happen.
No, I believe we should have the right to make our own decisions, you know.
Hey, Deanne, I didn't catch who your guest was there, John. I've been talking to him a whole hour. I don't even know who he is or what state he's in.
Oh, well, John's my co-host. It's John Alastasis.
Oh, I didn't know you had a co-host.
Yeah, I had a co-host on Republic.
Don't relate me to some of her old co-hosts, please.
No, he's... he's one of my co-hosts. He's been on for, how long have you been on the show with me, John? 3 years?
I really didn't. I don't have a, I'm going to tell you probably close to 2 years.
Yeah, somewhere in there and stuff. But, yeah, that's John Alsop is my co-host.
I'm out of central New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about an hour south of Syracuse.
Oh, okay. So you're familiar with former talk show host Chris Gerner?
No of them. I'll be honest with you. I'm so damn busy. They've been trying to put me down for a long time. I thought I was out there by myself, but then all of a sudden I found like Republic Broadcasting and InfoWars and the Power Hour, and it's like I had an awakening. Like, wow, there's other people out here. And because they were, I have a farm. Couple things happened to me. I got hit with a 10-ton bulldozer in 1992. I was on a bulldozer putting in a 10-foot culvert, and I got thrown off the machine, dropped into the creek base below the culvert, and the machine fouled over on top of me, and it literally hit me with a roll cage, fit between my toes and my neck, blew my head up like a balloon, like about 8 inches in diameter, bigger than norm, and I survived it. I didn't pop like a grape. At that time, I was able, they showed me hell, they showed me heaven, and I was able to speak from out of my body to my coworker. I says, Herb, I says, get it off of me. And he comes out of the, after I got out of the hospital, which was only approximately a week, he comes up and he shakes my hand. He says, Herb, get it off of me. And so I know you can talk from out of your body from up above. It was the purest thought I ever had in my life. And at that time, I was assigned truth. I was touched by God. I don't say that he just came down and touched me. I just know that you're supposed to tell the truth every day. And I have like an ability to walk into a cafeteria to where there'll be like tables and chairs and say a dozen magazines and newspapers, and I'll know to go to the second table, the third paper, the second page, and there's a little article I'm supposed to read, and it's just almost like automatic for me. And so anyhow, and I have things like I took a picture this year of a UFO. It's like, geez, you hear about it, you see pictures of it, but you don't get to do it. Well, what happened is I bought a truck. And as I was buying the truck, I carry a camera with me all the time. And I had to go out to Rochester. And as I went out to Rochester, I was in the South Rochester area. I come across the FEMA camp, so I took pictures of it. And I was aware of what my camera had on it. And then I had the film developed, and we went to camp with my kids. My father's got a camp, so I went over and I took some pictures of them. So I knew when I took those pictures afterwards or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's three pictures on my camera. And it's of a UFO, and I'm driving my car, and I chased it for about three and a half miles and got three good pictures of it. But I don't remember taking those pictures. But then as I saw the pictures, and I know the pictures ahead of it, and I know the pictures after it, it's not like I don't remember this. I do have some things from my bulldozer accident where if I dial a phone, I switch numbers and stuff, so I have to be very careful about everything that I do. But at the same time, all of a sudden when I saw that, it brought back a little memory of me seeing that UFO coming across the side of the hill, so I got my camera ready, so when it came over the other hills, I was driving down the road, I was able to get the pictures of it. I do remember that, but they were able to make me forget taking those other three pictures, but God gave me the grace to be able to do that, to be in the position at the right time and ready and did what I did and drove down a windy road for 3.5 miles chasing this thing, getting a picture of it, and then not remembering it, but all of a sudden I can tell the story. That's what my life is. And
hey, Don, what are your thoughts on the vast majority of these craft being seen around the world? Do you think most of them are of government origin, or do you think they're the real thing?
I think it's a combination. If you go to the Montauk Projects, pull up Philadelphia Project or Montauk Project and look for, the one guy that I got the DVD from, or the computer disc, they had 42 hours of information, and it's only $40. Well worth your time to see. I don't have the information in front of me. I'm going to give you my call-in phone number. It's 607-336-6647. And if you want to call me and leave your number and a contact information for an address, I can't email out. They don't let me email out on my computer, so I can't do much. And I'm not a good computer
what's
person.
What's beginning 606?
607.
607, okay.
336-6647.
I did want to add something. Go ahead.
I have the address for Hort, and the contact information for Hortziger is the one with the Philadelphia Montauk Project of, I'm trying to pull the guy's name up. It's his autobiography, but I can't remember the guy's name. But anyhow, it gets into several things. I mean, there's 40 hours of information there that just it'll enlighten you so. And then there's things like myself that Phil Snyder's on that presentation to where he talks about 140 elements, that we're growing some of this stuff in space. And, you know, he basically proves that it exists. But then there's things that hit me in my life, such as of the 140 elements. I watched an international farm tractor display when I was in high school, and they showed a front wheel of a hub of a, say, a 1066 International, which is probably an inch and a half thick of steel, maybe an inch and a quarter, but it's thick steel, hard, good steel. And they were drilling 8 lug holes for the lugs, and they're probably like either 3/4, 15, 16, good heavy hole. And they took a drill press, and this wheel came out of an assembly line, got rid of that drill press, and 8 drills went zork, about 3 seconds. It was through that whole drill, it was through that plate, no problem, no water, no steam, no nothing, just zoom. Another one pops right in place, zoom. And so I've always asked the equipment people, hey, I want the drill bit that the International has. I don't care if I pay 10 times as much because that thing can do, a cobalt drill would have taken me 10 minutes to drill that hole with oil on it and everything very precise. And I probably would have had to use a couple bits maybe for just one hole. And so anyhow, yeah, these things exist. You know, you see, by the Ginzu knife, you can cut rocks, you can cut your steel, you can do anything, and you can still slice that tomato. How the hell they do that? Excuse my language.
Well, as much as I think the vast majority of the ships, UFOs being seen, are probably of government origin, just in my opinion, I do.
Well, you can go to there are a couple of patent numbers. 6960975 is a patent on a UFO, and it transverses time, and you can understand how it would work. There's another patent, or go to Doe Watch, which is Department of Energy. DoeWatch.com is Phillips, and he's got a few UFO mechanisms listed, a nuclear UFO and something else. And then as you read some of the historical information, the Atlanteans had a battle on the moon with the pre-dynamic Indians from India, the 7 Rishi cities of India, and they actually had a battle on the moon in which I think when they went up with the Apollo that they had found something up there, because there was an indication that number one, when they landed the pod, they got the astronauts out of the pod, but all of a sudden they sank that son of a gun, and one of the astronauts was distraught and couldn't talk about it, and then they did go after that pod and bring it up after a while. Well, I kind of think he found a relic of a battlefront up there.
I don't personally believe we ever went to the moon the way NASA's telling us. I think that, you know, because one of the astronauts here in Bart Sabrell's video has admitted that I don't recall going through the Van Allen belts.
Well, that's another thing of misinformation.
I think they've been to the moon, but it's been in reverse-engineered technology that they have gotten from extraterrestrials. So I do agree somewhat.
Think about this. There was supposedly, again, misinformation. We have to build our discernment, and they're forcing us to build our discernment. There was freelance operators, radio operators, that were listening on the communications of the moon. And as they were taking off from the moon, which, number one, they had anti-gravitational mechanism on the moon pod because it didn't have, you know, if it took, first off, the first time they went to the moon, they missed it by 100,000 miles because supposedly the moon has almost as much gravitational force as we do. It's not a point of mass. Now, I don't know if that's totally true or not. I'm just telling you some information that I'm hearing. And so you've got to start picking it apart and start saying, yay, nay, I don't know. But anyhow, just... some of this information, the radio broadcast was as they were taking off, the pod says, hey, we've got company. And NASA says, we know. And he said, who is it? The Russians? They go, no. Is it the aliens? They go, no. Is it us? They go, yes. And so they had a UFO escort, which would make sense. If you pull up the pictures of Mars, as you have the pictures of Earth with the sun, the moon, or the clouds and all that beautiful blue picture, they have a beautiful picture of Mars. You see the glaciers on top. And if you zoom into those glaciers, you will see a city structure. It's already there. They've also had an infrared city picture of the moon and showed the underground city structures which existed before we got there.
Yes, I do
agree.
And
the lights were even still on.
I do agree there are bases on the moon and Mars, and that Mars actually
has out there.
Blue sky.
The day they had the government assassination down there in Virginia Tech.
Uh-huh.
In Virginia Tech, and that was number one, 33 people in the first half hour of the shooting. They said they caught the guy. They had a guy pegged on the floor with his hands cuffed behind his back, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, he shot himself, and the number comes to 33, so it's an Illuminati hit. Deanne had pulled up that same day, they were beaming materials from that college 62 miles into space. They were beaming it into space. But you didn't see that on the normal news. You had to pull that up through the internet to see that it was really happening and whatnot. And that they, Jesus my Christ, that was more important than anybody being shot that day.
You said they were beaming materials up?
Beaming materials, 62 miles. It was an experiment that the students had a contest.
They had a device kind of like they had on Star Trek that they were using to beam something from the planet up to some type of base up in the space. And it was on the other side of Georgia Tech. And
Like a teleportation thing.
Yeah, right, exactly. And the thing was, it went on exactly the same time the shooting was going on.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't heard that.
I had somebody that was witness of it contact me and told me about it. And this person was somebody well-known in the media. And it was going on. It was, in fact, in the newspaper, but nobody saw it.
That's interesting because I did hear that DARPA or NASA was involved in that shooter was a mind control victim and had somehow tied in with NASA or DARPA.
Yeah,
same
college was involved with that thing with the bird flu, and they also were involved with the pet disease thing out of China. So that school, I had talked to some of the folks that are tied to my broadcaster intel and things, and they told me that underneath, it's not too far from a mountain, and under there it's supposed to be tunneled out, and there's a lot of experimental things going on with that particular school.
Yeah,
and
actually, Alex Jones had posted an aerial map showing that DARPA facility outside Virginia there. It was a DARPA facility.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they
talk about it, you know, at all. They just made the Georgia Tech flame more important than
Virginia
the rest of the story. Virginia Tech, I'm sorry. The Virginia Tech thing more important than the rest of the stories that were going on.
Another thing with Virginia Tech, if you go to byronwine.com, B-Y-R-O-N, Byron Wine is a glass of wine, you will pull up a sheet of information. It's hard to read, but it deals with Virginia Tech teaching the book. The book they were teaching from is called The Sea of Energy, and they teach all about the free energies that were already at Virginia Tech. I mean, it's already there. These guys know it all. The engineers have all the information they need. Our children learned it. But again, it's like, who are they? They're the theys that they're hiding everything. You know, it's like Columbine. When that boy was shot and he was alive outside, the cop that came over and saved him says, I'm not supposed to be saving you, but hold tight and I'll get you. If you remember, they were 6 hours going in there, and about 4 hours, some guy defied the cop saying, well, I'm going in there. There's kids on the second floor with a skid steer and get them out of there. And then they have, I think it's Ken Taylor was his name, was the one that was shot and lived. He told his parents, hey, the cop said I wasn't supposed to be saving you. But then they took the government to court, the other parents that lost their children, they wanted the government versus Ken Taylor. Why weren't you supposed to be saving us? And I guess said and done, someone submitted an audio tape from a phone message that said the shooting won't start for another 2 hours. And if you get the book called The Program to Kill, he indicates that it was controlled with HARP operations, your 5 to 15 nanometers, and there was a circular cloud above that school that day. So again, as I was able to take three pictures of a UFO that I can't remember, how many things are going on that they have so much control of? And in the mind control, it's like John F. Kennedy. We watch his head get slapped backwards as if he got hit with a baseball bat on his forehead. But yeah, you say, oh, the gunshot come from the back and we did nothing. It was mind control. We had a coup that day. We don't look at it as such.
You're talking about
Sheldon,
the cloud.
What do you feel about that?
Well, John had just brought up this thing about this circular cloud above Virginia Tech, and I haven't heard a lot of this. This is great information you're sharing with me. Deanne, for the audience out there, Deanne got me learning about this Dr. Judy Wood lady who's been exposing Tesla-like effects around when the Trade Center towers went down. Well, thanks to Deanne bringing this to my attention, I've learned that there was a Category 3 hurricane off the East Coast on the day the towers went down. It was called Hurricane Aaron. And 2 days, folks, before this hurricane started, on the day the towers went down, it started, you know, it was closest to New York on the day it went down, then it started a recurvature where it went off towards Newfoundland. Well, 2 days before that, There were some fascinating structural changes in the eye wall, and the eye looked like a square. Well, Katrina that hit New Orleans also had a square eye, and Aaron was also the subject of an extended study mission which united researchers from 10 universities, 5 NASA centers, and NOAA, utilizing 6 weather satellites. Now, why does NASA got to be studying this thing from August 16th until September 24th?
Right, it doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, I think
there was
some kind of connection there.
Right.
Deanne, I'm asking you permission. You picked up on some things that Dr. Wood did that didn't make sense on that day, and I don't know if you'd want to talk about that or not.
Not right now, not at this point,
okay.
But there are a couple of pictures that are in that scheme of things that I kind of question, and I, you know, kind of more or less have it on my site. So if you look on my site, so I'll talk more about it. But the reason why, too, is you're not supposed to really, you know, talk a whole lot about 9/11. You know, that's kind of like a taboo subject, you know, out here. And that's another, that's a whole nother show. But, you know, the whole thing is that we have these so-called conspiracies that are linked to a lot of truth. You know, like, for instance, Sheldon, I feel very strongly, too, of what you said about these UFOs. I don't think they're coming from outer space. I think they're coming from inner space. You know, I think they're coming from man-made vessels that they're sending up from, you know, out of the ocean or various other places.
Well, here's the funny thing about Deanne. Here's the funny thing, Deanne, about Stevensville, Texas. Everybody, you know, there's a big talk about this. Well, coincidentally, nearby is Huckabee Hill, where there's a brand-new Lockheed facility going up. According to David Sarita.
And what do you know about it?
Oh,
do you have any more information about that facility?
Yeah,
well,
I've tried to do some searching on it, but apparently they don't want people researching it.
the thing is, you don't know what they're doing, because, you know, it's interesting, these laboratories, too. Everything you think is in the regular buildings, you know, above ground. But they have a lot of secret laboratories all underneath, tunneled under the ground, that they do these other horrific experiments in. And also, you know, we might be just getting surface information on some of the things that they're doing. And like I said, so far as technically advanced, we're assuming that if it comes from anywhere, it's got to be from an alien source, not from here.
Well, if you get the book called Underground Bases and Tunnels by Richard Sodders, you can actually see an Air Force base in California that's for UFO mechanisms.
Yeah, I got that book. Another thing to back up another thing to back up what I had to say about Stevensville is that when the big sighting was over Phoenix, what year was that, 97?
Around 97.
Well, there's also a Lockheed facility on the southwest side of Phoenix.
Wow. Carl, have you heard about this stuff?
Another thing that's going on with that is, like the woman we talked with Wednesday, a lot of the technical information that they're doing is holographics. And so can they actually create something that we think we see something? Now, one thing I've been kind of wondering about is, as 9/11 happened, and then all of a sudden they were like flying a jet over the whole United States all the time. They were guarding us. I question whether that was really they were flying a jet, because I could very rarely find a plane in the air. I think they were just creating the noise, and we were hearing it and thinking that they had this big jet going over all the time. I don't have a full answer for you on that.
Just
but
to try to
some of the things that are being created onto us, I think, are not what we see.
I totally agree. And this holographic thing, they're supposed to, NASA has this thing called Project Bluebeam, where they may project imagery of UFOs in our skies when they get ready to stage this fake alien invasion. And I heard a show on Daniel Ott the Edge radio show where a guest had mentioned that they're actually testing out this holographic imagery at Fort Huachuca down here in southern Arizona.
So instead of running away, we should run at it because that's the way they don't want us to go.
That's true.
This is getting a little dangerous here.
Coincidentally, they had murdered that researcher who brought that information out to the public. His name was Serge Manast. He was a Canadian researcher.
Well, it's just like they killed that scientist now that was supposedly the controller let go of the anthrax. Now, that was kind of surprising. Why all of a sudden, it's been, 2008, so 7 years after 9/11, all of a sudden this guy happens to commit suicide. Well, what was going on that, you know?
Yeah, and I heard no autopsy was allowed on that individual.
Yeah, imagine that. So he was trying to do something, and whatever he could do, it's like I say, everybody has a little niche of what they might be able to do to help the situation, and everybody has to do the best that they can do. They either got to give some information out or do something, or like maybe they are trying to make the central states flooded to get them out of there because that whole area is going to get flooded anyhow, and maybe it's not 100% right, but it's the only thing, it's the lever they've got to use. And so we've all got to try to use the levers we have to do the best we have to create the best scenarios that we can end up with.
That's very, very true. Carl, are you still there?
Yeah, I don't have that much more time, but I was going to bring this up. Somebody told me today that one of the 12 astronauts has come out and said that there are life on other planets. Maybe this, you know, all this stuff talking about UFOs could be, you know, setting the stage for this false flag alien invasion. Maybe, you know, they want to create this alien invasion in order to convince people that there was no God and, you know, we were made by these alien beings or whatever. But I don't know if you heard about this, one of the people who supposedly was on the moon coming out and saying this about there were extraterrestrials.
I heard Edgar Mitchell come out and say that, yes, indeed, aliens are here and they've been visiting us. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I just heard that today from somebody I talked to, told me it was, you know, just heard about it I think there's only a few news articles about it.
The fact of the matter is the numbers I'm hearing is we really didn't know about aliens as far as, they say, the United States government until early 1900. But then the Montauk Project, we have an alien that actually helped assist us there since that was originated, and I want to say that's ballpark late 1920s, and at that time, you know, they had all the abilities that we think we have today, per se, plus more. I mean, and they've had it for millennium. I mean, if they really wanted us, heck, we're chopped meat.
Hey, Deanne?
Yes.
I got a clip I want to play here. It's maybe only 20 seconds. That just to convince the audience that they have indeed plan this blue beam holographic imagery thing where they're going to bring on this new world order, and it's from former President Ronald Reagan.
With antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. Huh? I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Yeah, that's the end of the bite.
Wow.
So if anybody's out there is a doubting Thomas on what these people have planned, there's a guy that said it at least two or three times during his presidency.
Maybe that will be the new enemy that they create in order to say we must unite the world and have a one-world government and everything.
Yeah, the aliens will become the new boogeyman, the new terrorist.
Well, it's the same scenario they've used over and over and over again.
Well, how are we supposed to basically get rid of this stuff? Because, again, all the stuff these guys are talking about is our tax dollars that they're using to terrorize us with. It takes our tax dollars for them to build these devices and do these things.
Yeah, right. We're funding our own enslavement. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's reorganization of the American dollars. From one extreme measure, it's not going to work, you know. I'm putting in another vehicle like that. How long are they going to last like that?
Well,
how should you do this? I mean, this is ridiculous.
It's kind of hard to hear Deanne sometimes on the phone.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's just sometimes I can't make out everything you're saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I just said it's just ridiculous. I mean, we're funding our own demise. We're funding our own, chemtrails with these chemicals being thrown on us. We're funding everything that they're doing to us. It's not costing them one rent, you know what. It's coming out of our paychecks, our salaries, our retirement. Everything's going to them, terrorizing us.
Yeah, that's why it's imperative that we do our part and try to awaken the masses and get the sheeple out of the sand pile, because I think that's about the only way we're going to save ourselves. I don't think there's going to be a rapture. There's
no.
Jesus ain't coming back to save us. We got to save ourselves. That's what I think.
Well, don't you think we're all part of it?
Yeah, I do.
When it gets said and done, we all have the DNA. We're all part of what God made us, in whichever way. And so we have to take care of ourselves. And if we're not able to, then it'll allow us to not be here, possibly. I'm not sure how that all works, but I honestly, have you seen the information from Glenda Green, which is lovewithoutend.org? She has supposedly talked with the Spirit of Jesus for 4 months. And her information is quite strong. She had a picture she painted of Jesus with a lamb and a sheep in a country setting, and it got ripped, but it healed itself. And, they have a lot of abilities. They can make, if they can beam us up, that would be impossible for us to contemplate. But as the one UFO mechanism, 6960975, transverses time, I've had out-of-body experiences to where I've seen my life flash in front of my face in a split second. It took me 50 years to live it. I can understand time being altered. And so they do have the mechanism of triggering these things or manipulating them or whatever they've got to do. And it's just as different. It's just a different level of tying your shoes. And, again, if you look at the aspect like Jay McCanney Science, I very much appreciate his thought of, if they don't want us in space if we don't know how to take care of ourselves. If we're going to start advancing ourselves to where we start playing the games of a little advancement out there and doing things, we need to be of an upper class. And we can't be the warring class and have greed and vengeance and this terrorism all the time and listen to the stupidity of it. We have to build our discernment and start making proper judgments and characters and assessments of what we're doing to not vulcanize outer space as we've done the Earth.
Well, I heard that former Canadian researcher, Serge Manasse, he had put out in his information that they're using NASA's Project Bluebeam to, lift people up out of their bedrooms to convince people they're being abducted by aliens. And with everything going on, it could be the case.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the Spirit's been with me, and for a lot of things that have happened, I feel comfortable. I things aren't good. Don't get me wrong. I got the IRS chasing me. They put my farm down. They body slammed me. When it gets said and done, for everything that's happened, it's built me a much better person for what I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that I've been graced for all that's gone on. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still angry. I still want to hang some people.
Right.
I haven't learned to love thy enemy yet. But I'm starting to understand. I'm seeing the daylight of it.
Well, do you think now we have a situation going on in Iran, and I'm just wanting to find out, do you think we're going to go to war? I'm going to go to Sheldon first. Do you think with this handwriting on the wall that we're going to go into Iraq? What's your opinion of Iraq?
You mean Iran?
Yeah, what is your opinion, Sheldon, of Iran? Do you think we're going to go into war with Iran, or do you think that's not going to happen?
I personally don't believe we're going to go into Iran because they had legislation out about 5 or 6 years ago saying we were going in there. And I recently speak to the one of the prominent figures in our truth movement, Ralph Epperson. He's a historian, author, lecturer that lives here in Tucson as well, and he also thought that we're not going to be going into Iran.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I don't know what, I don't know how far we're going to get in this because throughout the nation too we got a situation of schools closing down, so the kids are getting misinformed and more miseducated. And even going back to what John went through when he went to his meeting today, I was trying to find out if there was increased numbers at all in these crowds, because if there were, then there is a hope, because that means that people are standing up finally. I don't know. John, do you think anybody's standing up on this yet?
Well, the information was we're going to have many wars on many fronts. But then the Bible also says that we will hear of many wars. So that doesn't mean they're taking place. It means we're hearing of many wars. It doesn't mean they have to be taking place. So it might be a training mechanism for us to build desire, to build the collective, but we have to actually believe that it's happening, to build ourselves in that effect. You know, as Jesus said, that we'll be as he and greater. And as Jesus' spirit talked to Glenda Green, he told her that we will be able to create anything. And it's there was a question, I guess, asked, well, how hard is it? And he said, it's kind of like eating ice cream once you learn how to do it. It's not that hard. It's like tying your shoe. But we have to get there. We have to have desire to get there. We have to have, as they have it was kind of funny that it just happened to watch it. Again, they put me in the right place at the right time. I was watching a skit. It's called Super Funny Japanese Boys Speaking English. And and what it was about is on YouTube. It was like a prep school in Japan, and they're watching this one boy trying to speak English, and his class is Marco Polo, and they're all in a uniform suit, and if they laugh or break character of learning, they get swatted with a bamboo stick. They have to get down the doggy position, and this guy comes up, and he really swats them. And so anyhow, they're this kid is just having a heck of a time trying to speak English, and he's getting to 20, and he's going 10, 10, and he knows it's 20, but he can't say 20, and so anyhow, they're all starting to break up and laugh. Well, they're all getting down and getting the bamboo shoot, and they have to have that pain to accent them to want to learn. Okay? Do we have to go through that? That's a recognized form of training. Pestilence is a recognized form of training. We have to go through the pain, the idea of having to go to war. We can't be a maybe. For us to build the collective, to be able to eat the ice cream, to know how to be as he.
Yeah, but I don't think we even have the time, to do that.
Time's manipulable. They can do anything they want with time.
Do you feel that, Shelton? Do you feel that way, Carl?
Yeah, pretty much. But don't get me wrong. We may not be going into Iran, but I think some other country is. And as far as the weather catastrophes, I think those are going to continue and get worse before it gets better.
Well, that's a form of war already. We're already at war. The world is. They're creating
the
wars of weather against us all, drought, you name it, famine. It's being created.
And it's interesting, if people go research this INMOD treaty, this UN Resolution 3172 that was passed back in the late 70s, it states in this UN treaty that the U.S. can't engage with other countries is using the weather as a weapon of war, but it does not state that the U.S. can't use it on its own citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, COINTELPRO, the FBI covert activity against American citizens, U.S. Title 50, Section 1520 is the poison American, use a modification for weather.
Yeah, if anybody doubts this is going on, the documentation's all over the place. And we even had former Defense Secretary William Cohen back on Monday, April 28, 1997, state, quote, others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can set off volcanoes and earthquakes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. And that was in Athens, Georgia's DOD, Department of Defense news briefing.
Now, I'm going to tell you this afternoon, I had to take a nap in my car for a couple hours, and I'm going to tell you, I think it's from the electromagnetic forces in our area. They were kind of strong today, and sometimes I can see it through my stray voltage unit on my farm, and I didn't pay attention to that today, but I'm going to tell you that some things hit me, and it's like, man, it just drains me, and it's like I got to pull over and take a nap, and so I did, about 2 hours worth. I don't know what they were doing, but it just, you know, it impacts us. We just don't know that it's impacting us per se. We just think, oh, I'm tired. I don't know why I'm tired. I'm just tired. Well, there's something creating that sometimes.
You know, I often have a feeling that HAARP's being run, because some nights I can't fall asleep, and I think there's some type of electromagnetic thing going on in the atmosphere when that happens.
You know, the one of the things I've done to help myself is to learn sensitivity. As you would know, a mosquito or a fly was in, you know, hearing distance of your ear to bite you, or within a couple inches, and you can either feel him or sense him because he's in your safety range. You know, when someone gets too close, they're in your safety range. You sense that, but it's usually within a foot to several, to a couple or inch or half an inch or something of your skin. But sitting in my office contemplating sense, I literally, from probably 5 foot away from the door, could bring myself into a position of feeling the compression of a fly flying into the room.
Oh,
we have that ability, but we have to put ourselves in a sense of recognizing it and bringing ourselves into that character to, and don't get me wrong, I can't do it at this moment. I have to meditate, and I have to, you know, prepare to do that. I don't have it. It's not like eating ice cream for me yet.
Hey, John, I'm hearing somebody snoring in the background. Did Deanne fall asleep?
That's possible. Deanne's not very well. Are you there, Deanne?
Oh, my God.
I hear her now.
I've never heard a talk show host fall asleep on the air.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I apologize for her, but she is very ill. I mean very ill. I'm surprised she's alive. I'm not kidding. She's been beamed. She's been... She's about to be on the street, and she's always out there doing the best she can. She's had terrific family problems where I think they've extorted against her family to ruin her family, and she's out there just doing everything she can to help everybody. She's under Nutrified right now, so it's very hard for her to stay on concentration and, even to stay awake possibly. I mean, this would be past different days are different for her, but I'll be honest, when we were on RBN, I was even saying, hey, let's shut it down at an hour earlier, because I was having trouble staying awake. And I'll be honest with you, I'd be dropping the phone on you, and you know, no one's caught me falling asleep on you. But there's times where I didn't make it, and luckily I wasn't snoring into the phone. But she just loses her energy, and she's out once in a while and just passes out.
Did you want me to get off so you could wrap the show up then?
Well, she wanted to wrap it up at midnight here anyhow in Eastern Standard Time, so we've got about 5 minutes. If you want to leave, you can leave. That's okay.
I did want to mention, I went to this blogtalkradio.com, and where you click on Listen Live, I keep clicking it on, and it just shows 0 seconds, nothing, no time is elapsing at all, but it doesn't seem to be playing or Listen Live link.
Well, as far as I know, as long as we're on, we should be playing. Eric was able to call in, and he wouldn't have been able to call in if we weren't playing. So there's some, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it's 100% because different things happen. For instance, I was trying to call John Stattmiller, and I called his number, and they said that number no longer exists. So anyhow, I tried a new number that they told me to dial, and that didn't work. And so then I went back to the original number, and it took me about four times, and finally I got through to them. And I told them, I said, these are telling me to dial a 900 number, and that doesn't go through. But it took four times to get through, and I dialed the same number. I didn't misdial it. And so, you know, the ramifications of the powers to be do things against us. They don't want a lot of this information out.
Yeah, that is an option, too, what may be happening.
And so as all of a sudden you're on, say, you're on the program with us, I wouldn't bet money that they couldn't latch in on your computer system and kind of maybe shut you down a little bit or so, or those kind of things are going on. Now, I think there's a good side, and I think there's a bad side. I think some of the stuff is, you know, they do control you, and at the same time, sometimes I think it's a test. Well, how far will you go? Are you willing to go the whole rope here? Are you willing to get around some of the blocks they put up? I don't have a full answer for you on that. But I do think, yeah, we're being impinged upon. We have controllers that come as speakers on our program. To give you, for instance, Arthur Bernquell is head of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and he has a lot of good things that he talks about. But then he ties us up, and he doesn't want you to speak when he's speaking. And he controls me. I let him speak to everybody about every 2 weeks. I let him come on a Wednesday usually. And he antagonizes me by wanting a really good copy of the audio and whatnot. And if he can't get it, it's like I get put under pressure to keep me busy. And then he has a friend called Lally North, who we know is a corrupted individual, or at least I'm to the understanding he is. And he says, oh, he's a pretty good guy. And so what is Arthur Bernquell? And some of the things that he's done in his life, he's been a gun for hire. He was in South Africa as a mercenary. And a mercenary isn't a virtuous person per se, but it doesn't mean the Lord won't let you pick yourself up and start being a good person. So
I've had these things happen when I did my own radio shows on the Internet where, I'm ready to start the show. I got like 10 programs open on my computer, and then it would just start freezing up. One time it lasted like a half hour.
Well, they're not going to make it easy for you, that's for sure. And, I don't have a full answer for you other than a prayer helps. I'm finding out that as I practice virtue and truth, there's rewards for it. And
I totally agree.
There's less there's less interference. You're able to control it more. And so as you learn that ability, you recognize to grow. And so again, it's a point of measure, it's a point of making the education level of yourself and gaining your license to have the privilege to have the upper abilities. And I'm not telling you that I'm of a great upper ability. I'm far from it. They've given me the ability to be able to see it. I know it exists. I know a lot of things in the spirit are here, and if you apply them, they're here better. And as one thing they showed me a week ago here was the movie on Waco. It's Waco, the
Rules of Engagement,
Laws of War, I believe I would say, or Weapons of War or something. And I saw the first half, and I know they destroyed those children, and they actually hit them with radiation so that they would all die. Well, one thing that he did there, we all have the godly right to live as he set us up to live. And Mr. Koresh had been raising those children with garden-grown vegetables and by the book. And so they had a really good upbringing basis to possibly have the four strands of DNA that we have be excited, to be ignited, to where they would have more potential of being successful and actually being, we can be godly. And so they had to be killed, is my guess.
Question about Waco there. Have you ever heard of former, Indiana attorney Linda Thompson? She had come out with some information on Waco back in the early 90s.
No, I have not.
Maybe I have, but I'm not familiar at the moment.
she had gone down to Waco when the siege was going on, and she was accompanied with former talk show host Bill Cooper down there, and she said that she had come up to some of the guards patrolling the perimeter, and they were all dressed in black, and she said when she looked into their eyes, it was as if she was looking into a soulless being, like it had no soul, like the eyes looked like the eyes of a shark. And you know, through the years of my research, I've learned that they've created these genetic constructs at underground laboratories. Maybe these were people had originated from.
Very possible.
I found that very interesting.
Very possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there that we don't totally have privy to. And, you know, this is some of the things that, you know, kind of makes us a little different than most. We try to put the information on truth out there so people can discern if they want to be one thing or the other thing, you know. So, Sheldon, tell me a little bit more about your website. And is it...
if anybody wants to check out my website, I keep it maintained, and I do all my web mastery, and I only know basic HTML, but I think I have a pretty good website. It's thelightofdayradioshow.com, thelightofdayradioshow.com, and if anybody wants to email me, it's Sheldon, that's S-H-E-L-D-O-N, and then Sheldon again, at msn.com. And, you know, earlier in the show you'd asked, Deanne, what kind of an effect I'm having or what I'm seeing in my own community. I really don't have time to interact with anybody. I'm a truck driver and I work full time, and by the time I get home at night I got kids to interact with, so I don't really get to see the effect around my community. But I've been listening to it on radio talk shows, and just how synchronicity type things happen when I'm emailing people, and then how they get in touch with other people. I'm noticing this, so I believe there is an awakening going on.
I agree with that very much. Now, Deanne, we have an acknowledgement that you were sleeping, and we hope you feel better. And at the same time, I know it's the end of the program here. You wanted to get done at this time.
Well, we're getting very close to the end. No, I wasn't sleeping. I just got problems with cold here. But we have like another 10 minutes of the show broadcast.
Okay, 10 minutes is fine. But one thing I'd like to say is Deanne could use people putting their hands together in a prayer for her health and her financial aid. And that's no joke. And we appreciate you, Deanne.
Well, I appreciate you, John, and I appreciate people like Sheldon and Carl. We got to try to help him out. He's, you know, in a very bad place. You know, he's in between world. You know, Carl has been out there.
He's incarcerated right now in Canada.
In Montreal, and he can't leave there, and he can't come here. And I'm hearing more and more stories of that, John, all over, not only here. And, you know, going in the United States to Canada, but all over the place, people are in these, nightmares. And the thing is, they can't call out for help because nobody knows they're there, for one. And secondly, even if they were able to, reach out for help, who can help them? Because of the corruption we have in the judicial system, and even dealing with the State Department. You know, they let terrorists allegedly in, but... You know, they don't go and do things that they're supposed to do to protect the rights of American citizens, which is, Carl again and, anybody else here that's on, soil here that's come forth with information of wrongdoing. But, folks, we're coming to a close on this broadcast, and Sheldon, hopefully I can have you back on. I'm going to try to get in touch with... the other gentleman that was going to have the meteorologist that also knows about this dumping of weird material onto the land that was giving people illnesses and things like that. And Sheldon, I really, I'm glad to meet you. You know, I'm glad that you are doing, talks of this, because more people that do this from state to state will, bring forth a measure of having people, you know, knowledgeable, and maybe there will be something we can do even at a local level. But, you know, when nobody knows anything, nothing happens.
One thing I like to try to do for Sheldon, I put a water for gas hydrogen fuel cell on my car, and with magnets I was able to jump me 8 miles a gallon. They say I can do this on my 10-wheeler also. I haven't done it yet, but it's very inexpensive, and all you've got to do is set up the bigger the jar, the more production you'll have, or if you put in multiple jars. But all it is two stainless steel plates that go to the bottom of the jar that are insulated on top. There's a 12-volt wire that goes on one side and you ground to the other, so you're just blinking a current through there. You're adding a level teaspoon of baking soda to a quart of water for your water fuel, and that produces hydrogen. And you put it in to where the vacuum will take it into your intake, and you should be able to increase your gas mileage if you're an independent and have to pay your own fuel. Even if you're working for a corporation and you can cut their budget to help them stay in business, it may maintain your job, but it might be something you'd want to consider putting on your 10-wheeler.
Well, that's great, you know, if we can do that. But then you know as well that anybody comes out with any alternative fuel, you know, somehow they end up missing dead or worse, you know. And it seems like it's been going on, you know, traditionally. As we speak, you know, Toyota and Honda and various other car dealerships have these alternate car mechanisms, but they won't let them into the United States. Why? Because of oil, you know, oil and gas prices. That's what they guarantee, you know, that we're going to be using our cars and vehicles so they can charge us more money, you know, again, you know, terrorizing us with our own money. Because when you look at where the money comes from, it comes from us. So anyway, you're coming to the last few seconds of the show. Shelton, can you give your website again, if you wouldn't mind, and a number where they can reach you? Shelton?
I think he might be gone.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you may have clicked off. I'm not sure. But anyway, we'll try to get the information and put it on the website. You know, he had mentioned it early in the broadcast. And, again, if you want to come to my direct email, it's dn.burley@gmail.com, dn.burley@gmail.com. Call-in number is to me directly, 630-666-8528, 630-666-8528. Website is dnburleyshow.com, dnburleyshow.com, or just Google my name. If you can provide a donation to the broadcast, it's either at Deanne Burley, 3150 Rod on Finley Road, Deanne Burley, 3150 Finley Road, Suite 310, Downers Grove, Illinois, Downers Grove, Illinois, 60515, 60515. And John, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And everybody, thank you for coming on board. And we'll be back next week here from 9 to 11. And then during the week, we're on from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Truth Radio and Blog Talk. Thank you for tuning in. And God bless everyone. John, thank you very much.
And thank you, Deanne. Good night.
Good night.
God bless everybody.